Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Worcester Report on CWCP Radio. This is Tony, and we have for you part two of my interview with Ibrahim Sambo. And I do highly recommend this to anyone who is interested in unraveling the criminal mind. I've always wondered why we don't collect as much information as we possibly can from the criminal minds in order to understand them better. We'll lock them up, and that's the last you hear of them. So with that thought in mind, enjoy it. And after that, you will have part two of Hope with Laurianne on ways to grow in God. So enjoy and learn something. It's not common for somebody in the gangs to renounce them. First of all, it's dangerous. It's happened, I've heard of other people, not too many. Mm-hmm. But it's happened to you.
Yes.
Why do you think it happened to you? What do you think God had in mind when he decided he was going to pull you out of that?
I cannot see the plans of God, but I know his plans to prosper. That time I was pronouncing I'm done and I'm finished, and they will be like, it's not for long, he will come back. And 2-3 years I'm back, I was a Christian and I was a follower of Jesus, so I can walk wherever I want to walk. But the thing is, the devil did use my former best friend, certain night in a certain time, that even my best friend stabbed me almost dead. And here is the marks in behind my lungs and so. It's a bit a tricky, but even though the judgments that they've made, the storms and all things that they tell, I stand firm, and that making me stronger today where I am. So to pronounce that you are changed, it is easy, but when the storm comes, when the challenge comes, that is where your character must answer to the storm so that you can stand firm. And today I'm standing more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ.
So how long did this phase of your life continue when you were carrying out your criminal activities? How long?
It was about 3 or 4 years. And then the year 2014, I was going on with the stuff of gangsterism. I was going on with the stuff of making people hurt, making families hurt, making someone's child getting hurt. And at the age of about 18 years old, I was so evil that I have 9 cases against me. And from that day on, my whole mindset changed, because now I know I have 9 cases. Now I know I must making me ready to go to a place that I never been before. So for me, to looking back right now is that time I was one of the well known young guys in Avon Park. Even my own brothers have said to my mother, no, he can go to jail, it's just the last for us. And I was laying inside of the cells, and only my mom come and visit for me, and I didn't get a visit from a friend or a best friend or so. So that day, I sit and I spoke to God. And for me, that day, to spoken to God is I have never spoken like him before, because I was a kind of kid that never believed in God. I was the kind of kid that believed that I am God. And from that day on, I was just talking to the man above and said to him that, Lord, if you show me your mercy, if you show me your grace, and if you show me your love, I will follow you. And at the stage that I have nine cases against me.
What were those cases for? What crimes were those for?
It was attempted murders, and it was ETB. And for me, like, it was like, wow, it's a lot of cases, so I must get ready for about a couple of years.
Why was it that you had all nine cases against you, but you hadn't yet been arrested for any of them?
Yeah, that was very interesting, because while I was laying in the cells, I was catched for three cases, but now they have shown a nine. And I was very confused, and they said to me, no, it's about attempted murders for your name, that was be they call it and they call it. And so I said to my mom, the policeman said that there are nine cases against me right now, and I didn't know where the other five come from. So they have really tried to frame me just to get me inside a prison, because I was the couple of, I was the guy outside that are really taking gangsterism to the next level, me and my following brothers.
So these cases, Were these things you had actually done, or were they not things you had done?
Yeah, a couple of them were that I have done and so, but about three or four of them that I didn't know about them. And today, God is good. Today I have none cases on my name. And for me, it was in Worcester's court that the Lord came through for me, and before my ex-brothers, before my ex-enemies, I was going to court and was making ready to get my years or so. And I was needy to pay some money, and I didn't have the money. And from that time on, my spiritual mother, 2014, is going with me to the court, and she said to me, bigger is he that is in you, that is he is in the world. And so I didn't recognize what the meaning was, but I was believing. And that day in Worcester's court, the Lord showed his hand, and even my mother didn't get a ride by the bank. My no one can help me with the amount of money that I need right now. And I asked the magistrate, that, can you just give me a few hours or so? And he said, no, if we don't have the money right now, we will send you to prison. And a man that I never spoken before, a man that I never seen before, walking into the court and bless me with the amount of money. And I give the amount of money for the judge, and they scratched the cases. And the other one said to the magistrate that, no, there are a lot of cases more, and they have trying to look. They have nine cases. They have brought nine cases to the judge. But that specific hour, that specific day, they were looking for my cases, but I didn't find nothing. And I realized that God is really in real life. And so I fall down in court, and I have just cried and say, thank you, Lord.
The person who came in and paid the money, was that a fine? Had you been given a fine that you had to pay that? You know, sometimes people go to jail after a crime, or sometimes people have to pay a fine. Mm-hmm. Was this money for a fine, or was it money for something else?
No, it was money for a fine, except the other cases.
for the other cases. Yeah. So if you paid the money, then you were free to go.
Not really, but I was free.
Okay. Have you ever found out who the man was that came in and paid your money for you?
Yeah, after that, I have seen that he's also a Christian. See,
but so he wasn't somebody that you knew before.
Knew before or no. Seen that time in my life before.
So now let's take it from the point that you're in jail. So you had gone to jail. Which mm-hmm. jail was it? Mm-hmm. Braunfly or?
Mm-hmm. No, I was a very clever guy.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, if I was going to jail, I was going to Portsmouth. So, but for me, the Lord was so good that I never went to a jail. I was just lying in the police station cells or so. And for me, that it was really in God's will to just get me there to a point that He can speak to me alone. So I was laying there in Worcester cells, police station cells, and I have spoken to God, and I just have said Him, as I said previously, Lord, just show me Your grace and Your mercy, and I will follow You. And I was going out, and court now, and I was all things. I was finished now, and then I was going to my friends, and I said to them, guys, I am really finished. I'm really done with this stuff. And they like, no, not human. You was the one that leading us. You are the one that were taking in front. You was the one that doing the parties. You are the one that making and taking us to the next level. And I said, guys, seriously. And from that day on forward, I have stand today as a young man or a young child of God.
You mentioned that there was a spiritual mother who had been with you at some stage.
Yeah.
Who is this lady? Is she a spiritual social worker or?
No, she's a pastor. She's staying there in my street, and from that day on, I was busy killing my auntie. I was busy fighting with my auntie, and suddenly that auntie come into our yard and said, "Ibrahim, stop what you are doing. Come with me." And I was like, and I was that day, I was drunk also. So I was one that, if I am drunk, I believe in I must hurt someone. I believe in blood. I believe in making someone hurt. And that night I went to a home, and she's telling me about Jesus, and I didn't want to hear about Jesus.
This is your aunt.
No, my spiritual mother.
Okay, right.
And I tell her that I just want to change my whole life around, because I was getting nowhere where I am at that point. And in her house, I was surrendering and I was giving my all to Jesus. And from that day on, she was the one that walked the path with me. She was the one that taking me to church. She was the one that reading the Bible for me.
Wow. How much time then did you actually spend in cells or in jail? Mm-hmm. Or was it just the time in the police cells?
Yeah, it was just the time in the police cells or so. Because why? They, I have never gone into prison or so.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing mm-hmm. how you have been blessed mm-hmm. for whatever reason, and after what you had done, you were able to not to have to go into jail, but this wonderful lady led you back to your faith. I'd now like you to talk about that, the time from then to the present, mm-hmm. because your life has changed completely. So tell us about that.
From that time on, for me, it was very hard. It's at the age of 18 years old to say that no, I'm finished with gangsterism, I'm finished with friends, I'm finished with the life that I was living. And for me, that is taking the lead to stepping back was a big step to make, was a big choice to make. And once the word is said, the gangsterism word is, once you get in, you never get out. But I can tell and I can say today that for just one guy or one woman, that there is a way out, and the way is Jesus. And from that day on, the day that I have turned my life around, it was very a strange place for me, because now I must adapt, I must obey, and I must learn things that I never have learned. And where I am today is only the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Because why, I have 9 cases against my name, so I didn't get work or so. So what I was doing, I was working with ministries in the community or so. The next thing they are working after it, I was going to a bit in Gray Street, the Worcester Learning Center. I was going there and learning there to get my education to the next level and so. And so I've doing a year there and so. And I was doing the course there in Cape Town. And I was my prayer was, Lord, I was serving you for 4 years now. I just need to see your hand of favor upon me. And for me, as a young boy that have nothing, a young boy that families pushed him away, a young boy that everyone call it a murder, everyone call him a gemos in Afrikaans, and for me to face the community and show them that there is a loving God. And From that day on, the people that are doing what my course, they said, we cannot help you because there's almost cases against you. And so I pushed the cases away. But in the meantime, I was a Christian, that cases was on my name also. So if it wasn't for the people in Pretoria that calling me, that say that I was going to for clearance on my name, I wouldn't know there was cases against me till today. And they have said to me, I must go to Worcester police station and I must show the stuff out. And I was going back to the Worcester police station and I asked him, why are there cases against my name? And they explained to me, why is it still there? And I didn't know, because why, I was so confused. Because why, they have dropped the charges against me, but it's all my name for four years. And so I realized that was a thing that the devil held against me for 4 years in my Christianity. So I didn't have to go or to move forward, because he was the one that every time I was looking for work or so, that bring my past out. And from that day on, they are going for clearance and they have cleaned my name. And so in a day before or day after that, I was going out with my CV. In the same day I was getting work, after 5 years of praying, after 5 years of serving God, after 5 years standing up morning after morning, failure after failure, and still face in going to what I want to achieve. And from that day on, I have really saw and I have really seen God.
And how about a job? How about at this stage, were you able to get work and get a steady income?
No, for 4 years I didn't get a income of myself, because I was in my past, I was the one that getting money for merchants, smoking with Tuckmos or Rob or so. So for me it was hard just to sit and say, no, I trust in Jesus. For me it was hard if there was not power in the house. For me it was hard when there were not food in the house, and I was the one that saying, no, Jesus will provide. For me it was hard to stand up and go write exams with nothing to eat or nothing to drink. And from this stage on for 4 years or so, or the rest of my 20 years back, my mother used to work alone and provide alone for me, even to the day that I've making her heart broken. So it was really a process for me. It was really a hard time for me. Just to see that I'm serving a God and nothing is happening in my life. So the Lord came to this year for me with a very good job.
So now you've got a very good job and you're stable and your whole life is completely different.
Yes, it's really different because I didn't speak the language that I speak. I didn't walk the walk that I have walked. I'm walking a different lifestyle, a different way right now. And for me, it's only grace, it's only mercy, it's only love of the Lord Jesus Christ.
If you had a chance to talk to young boys in Avian Park, age 12, 13, like you were, tell me what you would say to them.
I will say to them, Psalms 119, the Word of God says, what shall save you? And for me, it is only the Word of God. It's only Jesus. It's not a bullet. It's not 3 letters. It's not 2 numbers. It's only the Word of God that can save you. Because be the nerdy one. Be the crooked one in your friend school or so. Later or after that, 5 years or so, you will see and you will get the results of just be the nerdy one. And for me, for young boys, to what I would like to say to them is, don't let your circumstances stand in the ways of your dreams. Seek better, looking for better, and praying for better. Because why? A broken youth is a broken future.
Do you ever think about the other boys who you led in the wrong direction when you were a gang leader? Do you ever wonder what happened to them?
Today, your God's grace is so big, God's grace is so mercy. Today, there's only one still there in Avon Park that are outside, but the rest of them are in jail today.
Wow. Do you see a future in Avon Park? Do you see some way that the situation can get better?
Yeah, for me, is our young people, our young men or women of God just to need to take hands because God can only work where there is unity. So I see even now the bullets, the murders, the gunshots, the steps, all of that stuff that are going in Avon Park. I believe Avon Park is a huge rock of gold that just need to getting wiped off and making clean. So I believe Avon Park will be from this year or about 10 years forward will be the best place to worship God.
When you were a gangster, what was your feeling about missionaries and other people, pastors, coming into Avon Park, mm-hmm. maybe providing food, soup kitchens and things, mm-hmm. and telling people about the gospel? Were you okay with that, or did you wish they didn't come?
For me, I was liking, those people are working on my nerves because they are getting our young people that we want to get. So for me, I was not happy. I was not happy with that, and I was not into the things of. A pastor or so. I never believed in God before that time. I've only believed that my letters and my brains and my movement are our God. So for me to see a pastor or so that's standing there in Irving Park doing something good in the community, I was liking, wow, see guys, they will lose another couple of guys that can join us. So for me, it was very hard to see that.
Did you ever put those people in danger yourself? Did you ever harm somebody who was coming into Avian Park in the name of God?
No, I never did that. But there was one thing is about 13 years ago that we were going to church, into a church. It was a 10 service, and me and my friends were sitting there, and we was chasing outside of the tent, and we were like, wow, is this thing not for free or so? And from that day on, we didn't believe in God. We didn't want to hear about God because we was chasing outside of the church.
Yeah. Ibrahim, what would you like to be doing 10 years from now?
I will like to invest in young people physically and spiritually. I will like to do teachings. I would like to do classes about Jesus Christ. I would like to share in the holiness, the love, and the mercy, in the grace of the Lord around the globe. And for me, 10 years now, I just want to see people that the same Lord that is healed women and men in the Bible is the same Lord that can change every park, even park, or that is the same Lord and can change your circumstances, your marriage, or whatever you're going through in this stage of life.
Ibrahim Sambo, thank you for talking to me today. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. It's a God's pleasure.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God, Growing in Hope, Part 2. My name is Laurianne and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we learned how important hope is, both the regular human hope in the midst of difficult circumstances, and the Christian hope in the resurrection and the eventual overturn of evil. The Psalms are full of passages on hope and advise many times for believers to hope in God. This hope is not a wispy wish, but it is something as strong as a rope on a life preserver. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. It ties in with trust in God's promises. Hope doesn't have a specific timeline, but it is future-based, while faith believes more in the now. Still, hope is an essential stepping stone to faith. Hope is mentioned in the Bible 190 times. Some of those examples give us glimpses of hope as an anchor in stormy seas. One friend told me that she sees hope as the anchor of the soul. Hope is also a stabilizer that gives courage, perseverance, and in a sense, joy. My friend Brenda shares that she believes hope is that inner joy with motivation to expect that promised thing to manifest in any moment. That is, after the occasional times of panic and weariness while we are waiting for resolution. Hope is like a reservoir of emotional strength given to us by the Holy Spirit. Hope brings expectation in one who is bigger than ourselves. After all, we are given a promise in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That hope includes restoration, healing, and more. Last week when I was writing on hope, I conducted a survey of my Facebook friends, asking them for their view of hope. From folk musicians, I was given two great original folk songs about hope. I played one of them by Aileen McGann about looking up in hope on last week's Worcester Report. And so, hope does cause us to lift up our heads, rather than look down and mourn. Hope reminds us that we have much to live for. Not only do we have the future, but we have many gifts in the present, including friends, family, and so much more. From non-Christians who doubt the existence of God, there was philosophical discussion about other faiths and philosophies, but not a personal view of hope. The comment from one of them started with, "Even though today humanity experiences the best living conditions, greatest life expectancy, and easiest living with minimal pain and suffering in the history of mankind, life can still be unappealing to many people. Indeed, there are those, antinatalists, who say life is not living at all and claim that it is immoral to bring children into the world." Then he began to discuss religion as being a classic example of a coping mechanism. Hope is for those who struggle but lack the cognitive training for mindfulness. Those who don't struggle may perhaps still hope to find purpose in life. When I mentioned the current craze of superheroes also showed a strong measure of hope, I was given this answer. "Yes, fascination with superheroes is similar, except people don't think superheroes exist." Well, it is true that the comic superheroes may not exist, although try telling that to those who love to spend their lives in cosplay or in comic book conventions. Do they have real hope, or are they happy to just bury their feelings and enjoy fantasy? His wife shared that hope can be destructive if it's based on empty pipe dreams, but hope can also lead to meaningful actions that bring about the said hope. I'm thinking climate change, if we as a species can pull our fingers out of various orifices, including but not limited to our ears. The second view is on par with the folky dream of a collective set of people coming together to make change. This is a good thing to do in community, for hope is our future generally. However, it's not the Christian concept of hope. While this hope is supernaturally based, it's also incredibly personal. My friend Nano shared, "This winter I had a revelation of our Father God, who just enjoys me as his child, so I can sing and dance with gratitude towards all he has done and all he will do. I remain open to new adventures while I pass through the valleys of testing. Hope makes me rise above my circumstances, knowing that I have a greater reward than anything the enemy tries to fling at me." Hope helps you to persevere so your heart doesn't get sick. Two friends shared about not giving up. One of them said, "Hope is never giving up. Without hope, you have nothing. Hope makes you move into the future." This was said by a lady who had persevered through incredibly hard times this past year, despite having a huge heart towards the downtrodden. She's taking that hope with her this year while walking the Camino de Santiago in northern Spain. Hope is also part of completely relying on God. My regular prayer partner, Diane, shared of her hope, that same hope that has grown her into a very strong woman. She said, "Through many experiences where I needed to depend on God completely, I have come to believe in his promises. I know he has a plan for my life, and my role in life is to fulfill it. Every day, I look forward to making a difference in the lives of the people I meet, and in speaking up for good and not for evil." So in Diane's example, hope inspires. And another friend reminded me of the deepest hope of all, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul wrote about the precious mystery we carry inside us, like treasure in clay pots. We are the clay. And Jesus living in us through the Holy Spirit is the hope of glory. We are God's plan to love the world and show them Jesus. There is no plan B. We are messengers and ambassadors of hope. The NLT version finishes Colossians 1 verse 27 by adding that because Christ lives in us, this gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So in a way, God can be a superhero through us, but it is really God who is touching the hearts and situations. We're just the vessel. We have many reasons to hope. Let's reorient the reasons in a simple way so we have something to take home with us for later. David Murray compiled 10 ways in which Christian hope helps us in our walk with God. Hope moves us forward. Christian hope is a realistic expectation and a joyful longing for future good based on the reliable Word of God. The more we long for the future, the less we will yearn for the past. Hope deletes regrets and underlines expectation. It increases momentum towards the future. Hope energizes the present. Hope makes life living right now because tomorrow is so much brighter. Murray says that what's doomsday for most is coronation day for us. We need not fear death because it's not the end.
Hope lightens our darkness. Hope doesn't deny the reality of painful circumstances, yet it does shine a brilliant light into these valleys. It points to the light at the end of them. The saying, "It's always darkest before the dawn," is a hopeful statement that reminds us to persevere a little longer rather than be sorrowfully impatient. Hope increases faith. I mentioned earlier the connection of hope and faith, that hope precedes faith. I still believe that. Yet faith is not just the end result of hope. We are to continue in hope. Murray says that faith fuels hope, and hope also fuels faith. As Hebrews 11 makes very clear, hope and faith are very closely tied together. Both enliven the other. Without faith, we cannot soar in hope, but without hope, faith will limp home. The greatest believers are the greatest hopers. Hope is infectious. We can drag others down by our complaints and sadness, yet we can also inspire and motivate others through our inspiring hope. This attitude encourages other sagging Christians, and it also impacts depressed unbelievers who cannot but ask for a reason for the hope that they see in us. Remember that people watch us through our suffering and see how hope buoys us up. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, "To always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain about the hope you have." They need that hope too. Hope brings healing. When our friend Rihanna called me in the midst of my illness with the song "I Raise a Hallelujah," she was used by God to bring me hope. I didn't understand at the time, for I saw it as a reminder that God is in control even when I'm not well. It was a reminder that I had no reason to feel hopeless. I would not always be sick. Hope says things will get better. There is a way out. That hope is a step towards healing and away from depression. Hope is practical. Hope isn't passive. We are not to just sit and wait for a perfect world to appear. No way. Hope motivates action. When we hope for better days for the church, we serve the church. When we hope for our children to come to faith in Jesus, we are motivated to share the gospel with them. When we hope for God's blessing on His word, we listen to it much more intently. Hope produces action. Hope purifies. During our last broadcast, I spoke about many Christians and Jews going through intense persecution. Whatever persecution we experience in this world, the day is coming when we will be more like the Son of God. This is what inspires and motivates the apostle to persevere to the end and to persevere in holiness. Paul talked about knowing Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings, and this is exactly what purifies us when we keep up an attitude of hope. We grow stronger, purer, and people can see more of Jesus in us because of the hope we have. The apostle John shared in 1 John 3 verses 1 to 3 that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Hope gives us the strength for the refiner's fire. Hope stabilizes us in the storm. David Murray shares that there are 66 drawings of anchors in the Roman catacombs. These are the caves and tunnels that persecuted Christians hid in during the Roman persecutions. Hope was their anchor during those dark and stormy days. Hebrews 6 reminds us that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, sure and strong. The writer later shares in Hebrews 10 verse 32 to 34 to the persecuted church of his time. "Remember those days in the past where you first learned the truth. You had a hard struggle with many sufferings, but you continued strong. Sometimes you were heard and persecuted before crowds of people. And sometimes you shared with those who were being treated that way. You helped the prisoners. And you even had joy when all you owned was taken from you. You were joyful because you knew that you had something better and more lasting." Like the anchor, hope grabs what is out of sight. One Puritan author uses a similar life preserver image. "The cable of faith casts out the anchor of hope and lays hold of the steadfast rock of God's promises." So once again, faith and hope are connected. And as 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, these two things are eternal, as is love. John Piper believes that hope is actually an important component of faith, not just a stepping stone toward it. He says, "Faith can look back to the beginning as well as forward. So faith is the larger area or the container. Faith includes hope, but it is more than hope. You might put it this way. Faith is our confidence in the Word of God, and whenever that word points to the future, you can call our confidence in it hope. Hope is faith in the future tense." Speaking of storms, there is a connection between storms and our Cape of Good Hope near Cape Town. Yes, it's the southwestern tip of South Africa. It's not the meeting point of the Atlantic and Indian Oceans that happens further east at Cape Agulhas. Originally, this peninsula was named Cape of Storms, by the Portuguese explorer Bartholomew Dias, but instead a Portuguese king renamed the Cape Good Hope because of the major optimism that this sea route gave to Europe. It opened an easier way to India and the Far East. This king proclaimed a blessing on the tip of Africa, and may this blessing bring more than commerce, but rather what a blessing should give. And finally, hope defends us. Paul also depicts hope as a defensive helmet to be worn in spiritual battle. This helmet must not be taken off and laid aside until the battle is over. This is shown in Ephesians 6, verse 17, which the Passion Translation shares in this way. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Lies are the opposite of hope. Lies point us to the area of greatest vulnerability and danger, our mind or thoughts. This is where Satan usually works to give us reasons to doubt and despair, and this is why we need to daily renew our minds by the power of hope. So hope is far more powerful than we previously thought. Let's remember the 10 takeaways that hope gives us. Hope moves us forward so we don't get stuck in our wallowing. Hope gives us the energy to move. You can do this. Let's encourage each other with hope to move on. Hope lightens our darkness so we can see our way forward. Hope increases the faith that we have. Hope is contagious, and this is where the community spirit comes in. The folkies love this aspect of hope for a great song, but it is true. Hope brings healing, especially to the heart. Hope and depression do not mix. Hope is practical. It does not sit passively, but works for the better. Hope purifies us in the struggle, and especially in persecution. Hope stabilizes us in the storm so we become stronger. And hope defends us against the lies that drag us to doubt and despair. So we do have a hope in the future. We need only ask God for it. He's had it for us all along. Lord, thank you for the deep hope that you give us. I ask that you pour that hope into us so that it overflows our hearts. Strengthen us, sustain us, pull us out of the mucky mud and complaining and bitter hurts. Lift our heads in hope so that we can see a glimpse of that future hope as well as the hope you put in our hearts. Grow our hearts to contain more. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
Light. Hope is rising. While a madman tried to wipe the people from the planet, and Frank dreamt about the freedom we all take for granted, she watched the devastation, yet despite what she was seeing, said, I don't believe in hatred, I believe in human beings. Hope sleeps, but when it sleeps it dreams most amazing dreams, the kind a young girl treasures. Hope sleeps, hope sleeps, but not forever. Not quite 15 years old, she died in the Belsen camp. Yet the diary she left shines for us like a lamp, bearing witness to the power of the human spirit, to seek beauty and to tell the truth, no matter who would hear it. Hope sleeps, when it sleeps it dreams the most amazing dreams, the kind a young girl treasures. Hope sleeps, hope sleeps, but not forever. Happiness, a choice. Hope sleeps, but when it sleeps, it dreams the most amazing dreams, the kind a young girl treasures. Hope sleeps, hope sleeps, but not forever. Not forever.
And those two songs that you've just heard were Down Here with Hope is Rising and John Flynn with Hope Sleeps. Hope Sleeps has been a haunting tune in my mind now for, I don't know, 15 years, but I've only just started really listening to the words. One of the musicians we're fond of, we know him personally, but we love his music, is Josiah Milnes. And I work with Josiah on the production of Good News in the Morning that goes out every Sunday morning in Ottawa on CFRA. So it's great when I see new music coming from Josiah, new albums. Here are two tunes from his most recent album, Freedom, the title song, and Even If, which is a Mercy Me cover. I hope you enjoy this. This will take us up to the end of today's program, and we hope very much that you found it edifying and spiritually uplifting, a tale of redemption in the case of Ibrahim, who smiles at us broadly every time we leave the community where we live. He's one of the security guards there now. God bless you all from Tony and Lorianne.
The Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. Sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on the stage night after night, reminding the broken it will be alright. But right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can see through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt will all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, and I